for tapes, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2005 Midwinter Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
And this is very dangerous? It says you're not properly discerning what's going on here, dude. This is something Jesus holds very important. He said, look, he said, this is my body. This is my blood. I was thinking the other day, the blood of Jesus. You know, we don't often quote these verses because of how the Catholics have taken them and perverted them. But Jesus said, except you drink what? My blood. You cannot have life in you. Now, I was born and raised Catholic. And there was a time I believed in, ready? Transubstantiation. My wife still can't say that word. Transubstantiation is a doctrine that somehow that bread and that wine becomes the literal body and blood of Jesus. And boy, you better not drop it on the floor. You know, it's sacrilegious. Well, to me, it's such a gross misinterpretation of Scripture. I believe that that is an ordinance and a sacrament God has given us. I really believe that. And it's beneficial to us to break bread with the brethren. Can you hear that? I have, in fact, in our... We have weekly men's and women's meetings. In fact, our small group meetings in our church, we segregate them, men and ladies. We call them koinonia groups. And the reason we do that, we found out you can get down and dirty when you're with a bunch of guys. Hello? All the ladies. But how can you get down and dirty if your wife's sitting there? Come on, give me a break. So we put guys with guys, ladies with ladies, and we come together. And one of the rules of the koinonia groups every week is we share our lives, get real, pray for each other, get in the Word, and always end with communion. We always break bread and pass the cup. And I tell people, the reason I want you to end it is that's a good time to confess your sins. Amen? Confess your faults to one another and pray one for another that you may be healed. And if you've got some sin and you're with a couple of brothers, and the brothers I'm with, I love my men's group. I've got seven guys with. I absolutely, once every other month we go do something fun and hang out together. I love those guys. We would lay our lives down. It's community. It's brother. That's my accountability environment. It's so cool. I'm not the pastor in that group. They're just my brothers. And I can share anything with those guys. You know, and they can share anything with me. Are you hearing me? That's the power of Christ. In fact, the ordinance of communion started in a small group upstairs with a bunch of guys. Are you hearing me? It was just a small group. And so I tell the church, we do have communion once a month in our church. But I believe the best place for it is a small, committed covenant band. Because we covenant together. That's where the power is. And we discern that we are one body, broken. That when we pass the bread, we are a body broken. We are one, but we're many. So he's speaking here about, you better do this worthily, verse 28. Examine yourself and eat that bread, drink the cup. But he that eats and drinks unworthily, if you're taking that with a cavalier attitude, with bitterness in your heart, and you're just kind of doing it as a trite thing, he says, that's really dangerous because this is really close to the Lord's heart. I'm telling you, it's like the Holy Ghost is close to the Lord's heart. You know how close the Holy Ghost is to the Lord's heart? I tell you how close. He said, look, you can say anything against the Father. You can say anything against the Son. But don't you say nothing against my Holy Ghost. For he that speaks against the Holy Ghost, his danger of never being forgiven. That's what Jesus said. And you know what? For these churches to cavalier blow off the Holy Ghost, this dispensational church, like I shared the other day, I think the 100 years is up. The Lord said, I'll pour out the Spirit in the Azusa Street, the Welsh Revival, 100 years later. I felt like he said, that's it. They've had 100 years. Come out from among them. Because witchcraft is pouring into the dispensational churches. Baptist, Presbyterian, look, the charismatic party's over, witchcraft, Harry Potter, the witchcraft is pouring into those churches. And if you're not filled with the Holy Ghost, what defense do you have? And because they've besmirched. I told my wife the other day about this preacher. I said, you know, the thing that grieves me is he relegates lightly, which was such an important thing to Jesus. He said, look, guys, it's important for you that I go away. I need to go. It's expedient for you that I go. Because if I go to the Father, I'm going to send the gift of the Holy Ghost. That was his passion, to get up there. Okay, Father, here's the blood. Loose it. Pentecost, Holy Ghost came, birth of the church. That was the heart of the Lord. It's still the heart of the Lord. Lord, are you now going to set up the kingdom? He said, no. Tarry in Jerusalem and wait to be clothed with power from on high. For you will see power and you'll be martyrs, that's the word, witnesses unto me. Amen? And for these churches now to relegate the third person of the Trinity, to blow him off. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? Understand that that's how communion is. That's what he said. It's just as precious in the eyes of the Lord. And we evangelicals, because the liturgical has taken it to a sacrilegious extreme. Okay? I'm born and raised Catholic. I know what I'm talking about. Then you get the other side, it blows it off and relegates it lightly. There has to be a balance. I think the balance is we recognize this is a sacred thing in the eyes of the Lord. To break bread. To share the cup. And reminded what he did. He said, do this in memory of me until I come again. This is an ordinance all the way to the end times. He says, listen, because if you eat it or drink it unworthily, look at this. You drink damnation to yourself, judgment, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sick, and some even sleep. He said, there are some Corinthians are even dying. You're sick, you're infirm, and you're even dying because you're not properly discerning the Lord's body. Are y'all hearing me today? The teaching is why God at times heals and at times doesn't. This is very precious to the Lord. And so, you know, if you and I, and I've had to really deal with my rebellion in this area. I'm telling you, being raised Catholic, I had a major problem with communion. No thanks. You know, and the Lord had to, just like anything else, say, well, you know, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Search my word. Understand where my heart is. There is something so powerful when we break bread and pass the cup with my brothers. The anointing comes. There's a sacredness about it. Are you hearing me today? Amen? And it's dangerous. It's dangerous. Don't take it lightly, because that could be the reason people are sick and even premature death. There it is in the Word. One more place. We're going to look in Isaiah 58 to tie this up. Isaiah 58. That's the famous chapter on fasting. And really the Lord was rebuking them because, as opposed to the church today that hardly ever fasts and relegates it to something minor thing, he was rebuking them because they were fasting too much, but for all the wrong reasons. Okay, so we really, it's hard for us to relate to the spirit of Isaiah 58, you know, because most people don't even fast. And more I'm realizing the church today has left off half of the method of seeking God. Seeking God is not just prayer, it's prayer and fasting from one end of the Bible to the other. But he does offer some powerful principles here, and jump in and look at verse 8. Here's an incredible picture of a healing anointing. Verse 8. Then your light will break forth as the morning. Your health, look at this, your health will spring forth speedily. And your righteousness will go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your reward. Whatever that. Reward. Folks, this is a wonderful picture of the anointing of healing. Amen? Your light will spring forth. Your health will spring forth speedily. Praise God. But look at the condition. If I can teach you today nothing else, always look at the condition. The Bible is not a buffet. Look at the context of the Scripture. Amen? You ever heard about that guy who just believed he could pluck verses? And he flipped it and he pulled a verse out and said, Judas hung himself. And he pulled another and says, go and do thou likewise. Not wise. So what is the context? Look at verse 6, 58:6. Is not this the fast that I've chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, break every yoke? Is not my fast to deal your bread to the hungry, that you bring the poor that are cast out to your house, when you see the naked that you cover him, and that you hide not yourself from your own flesh? That means your relatives. That's what it means. That you hide not yourself from your own flesh, those that are close to you. You remember how Jesus rebuked the Pharisees because they would not give to their parents? They called it Corban. You know, they gave it to the... And he said, you bunch of hypocrites. You know, they would supposedly give to the treasury. And he says, honor your father and mother. Now, look at verse 9. Continue to look at the context. Then you'll call and the Lord will answer you. And you'll cry and he'll hear. And he'll say, here I am. If you take away from the midst of you the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, in other words, judging people, speaking vanity. Verse 10. If you draw out your soul to the hungry, you satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light will rise in obscurity and your darkness be as the noonday. You know what he's saying? Do the works. Go do something. That's what he's saying. Get out of your religion and go do something. You know, a lot of people are going to be really surprised on Judgment Day because they're all going to line up there and Jesus is going to say, look, I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me. He said, I was lost and you searched me out. Enter into the joy of the Lord. And they say, well, Lord, what are you talking about? I never saw you naked. He said, look, whatever you did, you don't know the verse. To the least of these, you did what? You know, our judgment is conditioned upon our works. Listen, salvation is free, folks. Salvation is by grace. We're saved by grace, not of works. Oh, but we get it confused. We say, okay, I'm saved. Good. Now I can just sit back. No, no, no. You're saved to work. Because James 2:26 says, faith without works is dead. As the body without spirit is, so faith by the works is. If your faith has no works, there is no faith. You understand what I'm saying? If it's real, faith works. So if you're a Christian and your heart is not to reach out to the needy and the hurting, to get out of yourself, to get out of your comfortable middle class lifestyle, be willing to cut across the and get out of your comfort zone, to reach out to others, it's very likely your faith is called into question because the indication of your faith is your works. Are y'all hearing me? You're getting quiet. You're getting quiet. Is it in the Word? Jesus will say, many will come to me and say, Lord, 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 we did all this stuff. And there he'll say, I never knew you, workers of iniquity. But you know what's really interesting? Listen to this. A lot of people today say, well, the Lord knows my heart. The Lord knows my heart. If you will read the first three chapters of the book of Revelations, when he spoke to the church of Ephesus and Smyrna and Philadelphia, you know what he kept saying? I know your works. I know your works. He doesn't ever say, I know your heart. He says, I know your works. Search it out. I know your works. See, he's coming back and he's going to try every man's work of what sort it is. 1 Corinthians 3. And some men's works will be gold, silver, and precious stones, but others wood, hay, and stubble, and the fire will try it. And it'll try every man's work. And some will be saved as by fire. I mean, that's all they have left. But when he turns a fire on our works, he sees, did you live for yourself or for the kingdom? Where was your heart? Because if you really love Jesus, your heart is, you're going to love your neighbor as yourself. You know what, folks? This is the context of healing. You see the healing verse in verse 8? That's the context. Do the works. In fact, look at verse 11. And the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought. And make fat your bones. In fact, the Living Bible reads there will keep you healthy. And you will be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fill not. That speaks to me, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. You know, the bottom line message I'm saying here today, folks, is God wants us to heal. He loves us. He wants us to walk in health. And he wants to heal us. But he really wants us to walk as obedient children. As cities set on a hill. As a light of the world. Amen? And to close the doors that open ourselves to so many things. But it's incumbent upon us to understand that it's not a free ride. We're saved to work. Now, I'm not talking about getting in striving. Let's back off a minute. I'm not talking about being Martha. You know, Martha, remember, she was all anxious and troubled. And when Jesus came, she was in there working, rattling the pans. You don't know the verse. Trying to make dinner for him. All anxious so that Jesus would find her working. And Mary was sitting at his feet. And for all we know, she was judging Mary. In fact, I think she was. She'd probably gotten her sister trying to get her to help out sometime. She says, I know, I'll just wait till her little friend Jesus comes in. I'll get her straight. And so Jesus comes in. There's Mary sitting at her feet. She says, I knew it. You know, we're going to have dinner. And she's in here. She's sitting with Jesus, not helping me in the kitchen. Says he's resentful and bitter and angry and... And just listening through the door, and Mary finally slams the door. Jesus, don't you care? My sister's left me to serve alone. Make her help me. None of y'all can relate to that at all, can you? The way she talked to the Lord, that's called witchcraft prayers. Lord, would you make her do that? And the Lord turned to Martha. He says, Martha, you understand, you're the one full of care. And you're full of anxious. And one thing is needful. And Mary has chosen, and I'm not going to take that away from her. Now, stay with me a minute. So he said, oh, well, how does that go with, we're going to be judged by works. Oh, trust me. Mary did her works. Okay? Martha's works were out of an insecurity and an anxiety, and I think I got to get brownie points so that he'll be happy with me. Okay? Mary loved Jesus. Sat at his feet. But you know, sitting at his feet, she got a revelation. And her revelation caused her to do an extraordinary work. It says that one day she came to the house, he came to the house, and she took an alabaster box full of ointment. Now, this is my own speculation. But when Judas complained about the waste of the alabaster box full of ointment that was poured over his head, and he rebuked Judas because it was many days' labor, I believe it was her labor. I believe it was her ointment. You understand what I'm saying? She earned that. That was something that was of hers. You don't see anything in the context Martha saying, what are you doing with my alabaster box? What are you doing pouring away my... No, no. I believe it was hers. She worked hard for that. She did her labor. But she poured it on the master's head. And everybody criticized her. And Jesus said, look, leave her alone. For my burial, she is preparing me for my burial. In fact, he said, what she's just done, they're going to be talking about all the way to the end. Guess what? I'm talking about it today. And now here's the revelation. How did she know he was going to get buried? I mean, even the disciples, they were like the Keystone Cops. They were clueless. I mean, all the way to the end. They didn't know. Right? I mean, just flee, free. They just, oh, Lord, you're going to set up the kingdom now? They were clueless. First, everybody was clueless. Except Mary. Who was one of the first in the garden? You see, I believe sitting at his feet, she got to know his heart. And when she got to know his heart, there was this love relationship. She went out, I think, and busted her whatever and earned this box of ointment to put it on his head. She wanted to pour out and to waste the most precious thing of hers on him. That was works. You understand what I'm saying? When you have a peace and a love and an intimacy with Jesus, you're going to work. You can't just sit still. You're just going to move. You're going to do something. You can't but move out of your belly. In fact, like I said once to somebody, you don't have to do ministry. You are a ministry. You know, people say, well, I'm going to do this. As long as you're trying to do something for the Lord, you're useless. It's when you finally are being something for the Lord that out of your belly flows river of living water. When you simply are a ministry, wherever you go, you're the light of the world. You are a work springing up into everlasting life. You are a work. That's what James really means. I think faith works by love. And then, so I've noticed when I instituted this outreach thing at my church where we have teams go to the hospital. It's a long-term care facility. We have teams go to the nursing home, and we have teams do door-to-door evangelism. Okay? It's volunteer. I just throw it out. We do it every other week or so. On a Sunday afternoon, we got it set right after church. We just go eat lunch, come back, we'll go do outreach. And what I challenge people to do is I say, look, you sit here in these four walls. You need to get out and go love and serve. And I notice the people that regularly sign up, because it's a sign-up sheet, you know, that we break into teams. The people that regularly sign up, I notice when I look at it, are the ones that I know have the intimacy with Jesus. See what I'm saying? You can see some people will sign up because out of guilt, I guess I haven't done it in a while. I kind of need to go do the hospital visitation thing for the pastor because, you know. But I've noticed the faithful, the core, the ones that always sign up, I mean, even to their own detriment. I'll look at them and I know those people, they have something with Jesus. And they're doing it because they love it. It cuts their flesh. It's uncomfortable. It's disconcerting. But it's the way they can show Jesus they love him. And you know what? They're laying up gold, silver, and precious stones in the kingdom of God. So in conclusion, is that the second time I've said that? Or the third? Why God at times heals and why it doesn't. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would give us revelation today and discernment in our spirits, Lord Jesus, to show us the root reasons, Lord, that we may be laboring under bondage. that we may be laboring under demonic activity, that we may be laboring under infirmities that have never been healed. Jesus, as our brother Glenn said today, it may be because there's something demonic in our house. It may be. It may be we've not obeyed the injunction of cleansing our property. Or it may be, Lord, we're just self-satisfied and comfortable and presumptuous and caught in the heresy of the age, thinking we can blame and name and blame and grab and not have to serve. Lord, I pray you would bring the conviction of the Holy Ghost, who is so precious to you, Jesus. The Holy Ghost is one of the most precious things you have, are, want. It is the third person of God, that you would send the Holy Ghost to us and convict us, Lord, to repent, to open our eyes, to open our ears, to convert our heart, Jesus, to repent so that the healing anointing can be loosed and the light can spring forth and the rivers of life in our soul will be like a watered garden. Because, Lord, we got our priorities right. We're seeking first the kingdom of God and your righteousness, Lord Jesus. The furtherance of your kingdom is what it's all about. Lord, that would be first in our life. Knowing that when we do that, somehow, some way, you toss in all the little details. All the little things like, money, careers, marriages, families, all of that. The little, Lord, because our heart is on the main thing, the kingdom of God. Jesus, we repent today. We turn in our heart. We turn back and we make your kingdom first. Jesus, we make, in fact, even our healing, we put our healing at your feet. We say, Jesus, that your kingdom would come first, even before our healing. We'd lay down even the demand to be healed. We would rather demand and cry out that your kingdom would come and your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then in your mercy, Jesus, in your mercy, you loose the things like healing and anointing and grace and blessing. Hallelujah. But you've called us to get on the cross and deny ourselves and lose our life. And when we lose it, we mysteriously find it. But when we hang on to it, we never get it. Jesus, let truth go in the inward parts today. And the hidden parts we would know wisdom. Come, Holy Ghost. Come, Holy Ghost. Jesus.
I just sense the Holy Spirit say something to me. As your heart is lined up right, He will be free to release that anointing of healing you've been so longing for.
That look to Jesus and His kingdom and your obedience in that kingdom and your servant's heart, and He will graciously, lovingly, absolutely blow you away with how He will bless you because He loves you. But if you've just got to get your priorities straight, Jesus, rectify that stuff in our lives today. Make it right. When we go back from after this camp, all of us, myself included, Jesus, will get up every day far more desperate for you. Lord, we will not go the times that we tend to go without thinking about you or talking to you or giving stuff to you or thanking you or trusting you. Or Lord, make us weak and needy for you, Jesus. Poor and needy people for Jesus. That you could be strong in us. From when we are weak, we are strong in you, Jesus. Your strength is made perfect in our weakness. Jesus.
I just heard the Holy Spirit say something else. I heard Him say, there are Marys in this room. And if you see yourself as a Martha, He will make you to be a Mary. But if you don't see and you deny, you'll stay stuck. But if you'll say, yes, Jesus, I'm anxious and troubled, fretting and running, and if you just confess it, He'll turn you into a Mary and deliver you from all the striving and stress and give you that revelation of Him, that love, that intimacy that you want, that you desperately need. That moment-to-moment proximity with the living God inside your own soul. Come, Holy Ghost. I pray today, turn the Marthas to Marys in the room. All the Marthas, all that what that represents. Lord, turn us to Mary and all that represents. We would find stillness, quietness, peace, stability, security at your feet, Jesus, and trust you with all our heart and not worry about the stuff. You're God, just to be pleasing to you, Jesus, that you'd look down and you'd smile and send the dove. Say, behold my child in whom I'm well pleased. Here, have my Holy Ghost on your life. Jesus.
We worship and adore you, bowing down before you.
If you don't know it, sing it with me.
Songs of praises singing, hallelujahs ringing, alleluia, 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 amen.
Sing that again.
We worship and adore you, bowing down before you. Songs of praise singing, hallelujahs ringing, hallelujah,
Father, praise you, Father, praise you, Father, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Send your spirit, send your spirit, send your spirit.
Ah. We said they have eyes that cannot see, ears that cannot hear, hearts that cannot understand, lest they should see their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their heart, be converted, and I should heal them. And I sense that's what the Holy Spirit is doing today, is He's opening our eyes, opening our ears, amen, softening our heart, converting us, causing us to repent, and then He will loose His healing. And I charge you, the biblical pattern for repentance is fasting and prayer. Fasting and prayer. And what I would challenge you to do, what the Lord has led me to do, it's been so good. I told my wife, I've been doing it about 4 or 5 months, but I told my wife the other night, I said, I'm at the most amazing place I've ever been in my life. She said, what's that? I said, I'm regretting the fact that next week I won't be fasting. I'm regretting it because we were going to have Christmas. I said, I'm actually regretting it. I said, I've never been in that place before. I said, I'm really looking forward to getting past the holidays so I can get back into my 3-day a week. It's a wimp. I call it a wimp fast because I'm a wimp American. One day I'll grow up and be a real Christian. I'm serious. I'd say that I'm not. I am serious. I am very much on the wimp scale of self-denial. But for me, it's far better than I've been doing. It's a 3-day fast of just fruits and vegetables. Any amount I want to eat, but that's my wimp fast. No sugar, no starches, no cookies, no just fruit and vegetables. But God honors any fast. Amen? And I think God loves commitment. I made a commitment to Jesus. I said, Jesus, I am going to live that lifestyle from here, from now on, from the rest of my life. I'm committed to it. Other than certain times when I travel, or I'm committed. I'm committed. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. Are you there? That's why I just challenge you to consider strongly a regimen of fasting. And people ask me, well, what? And I don't have a clue. It's you and the Holy Ghost. It took me 2 months to come to terms with what I do for my schedule, for my life that works for me. I finally found something that works. You understand? Seek the Lord. But if you will lock in a discipline of self-denial, it'll bring in a level of repentance that'll loosen the anointing of healing. And I believe healing not just for yourself, but healing so that your hands can be healing hands. Amen? And you can lay hands on your little ones, your children, spouse, and you can see God's grace and gifts flow. Lord, forgive us as Americans. We are a wimp nation spiritually. Comfortable, not conformable. Presumptuous and not passive. Presumptuous and passive and not passionate. Forgive us, Jesus. Lord, rescue us from the culture we live in. Lord, help us to pick up the Bible principles of following Jesus Christ, of being crucified with Christ, losing our life, self-denial, so that Jesus, your kingdom can be birthed in our lives and we can bear fruit, Father, in our lives that would be pleasing to you in the lives of those around us. Lord, I pray that there would be no legalism, no law. None of that is pleasing to you. Demons work with legalism. It would all be grace, 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 conviction, resolution, commitment, heartfelt desire. Lord, that's what it would be, not legalism. It would be born of a desire and a hope that there's a greater life to be lived through self-denial. Jesus, do it. Nobody said. Amen, amen. Having said that, I'm going to pray for the meal. Praise God. We bless our time together and our meal in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.